If you read Hebrews chapter 11, you find out that there are not too many names are mentioned in that place compared to the people that live in every generation. And the reason is very clear in that chapter, that those who do exploits, those who receive, those who have the kind of miraculous testimony that is recorded there for generations to come, they did it by faith. Without faith, our Christianity is empty. It takes faith. That's what separates us from unbelievers. They are called unbelievers. I was once an unbeliever because I had no connection to the power and what God can do. Amen? So if we're in church and we don't still believe, we are unbelievers, no matter the name we carry on our forehead. The word unbeliever is living without faith in what you believe. Says all things are possible to them that believe. I pray that God will help us. Amen. Amen. Increase our faith. Amen. I know this morning flow was a little bit, you know, I didn't know what they had planned, so we just follow what the Lord is doing. Amen. Amen. This morning, the word that the Lord has put in my heart is a little bit heavy. When I mean heavy, it might be light for most, but it's just a little bit deep for some. But because we're in the midst of the spirit of wisdom and revelation, He will bring understanding and make it simple. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We were in a meeting this Friday noon at a particular high school in this city. And the principal, one of the principal, when we asked him what should we be praying for the school, when I read his countenance when he said what we should pray, when I listened to him repeat this almost repeatedly, the concern in his heart, and then he manifested an expression of almost hopelessness. Oh my. And what the prayer point he asked for the high school, and probably for the whole school, was social media. The problem they are dealing with, social media. He said actually one of the schools were so provoked that one school in this county has banned the use of social media during school hours. But he didn't think it was the best action though, because of so many ramifications that comes from law trying to legalize something you know the children will rebel against. This morning, by the grace of God, I pray that you receive what the Lord has for us, and is what happens to a generation or the church in a generation or a people who lack the consecration of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
When we say God is a creator, is the maker of all things, that's who He is. And when he created everything, he says it was good. Amen? There is a reason that made Adam and Eve to lose their position. There was a reason. And there, ever since history, there is a reason, there was always a reason why nations fall and nations rise. All through history. You see, whether it's Ford Motors or Chrysler, any company that makes cars, they made that car. They created that car. They know the function of that car. And they recommend what that car needs for that car to run and to survive. Amen? Every car requires gasoline. Every car requires water in the radiator. Every car requires oil in the engine. Those are just some pillars, key needs of a car. If you don't put water in the radiator, if you don't put gas in the car, of course, if you don't put oil in the engine, something is going to go wrong. Amen? It's 1+1. We all know that. But because we don't understand the spiritual world and the one who created us to live in this world, we tend to minimize his recommendations how to be successful in a perverse generation. It's like we have cars and then where he says put gas, where are you going to put? Do you put water there? Where it says put oil, do you put gasoline there? Or what do you put there outside of oil? Actually, they go as far as certain engines require certain levels, some kinds of oil. It's not every oil you put there. So they have recommendations. And once you disregard those recommendations, you ignore those recommendations, no matter how brand new that car is, it's going to collapse. It's gonna waste. So sometimes, because God is a spirit and he understands that we as humans, we don't physically see him, he made provisions through generations of people who have desired to really have experience with him. And in his wisdom, he has made provisions all through history. There is not a time, even from the beginning of man, Adam and Eve, that he did not give them recommendation for success. And he did not empower them. Adam had power. Adam had dominion. Adam had everything. Very intelligent. Everything God gave to him. And then God gave him his word. He says, this is what keeps you spiritually healthy and sound. And the only reason Adam fell, he ignored that word and listened to man. And the mankind they listened to did not know that person was influenced from the spiritual world, which was the serpent. So this morning, I want you to really process what God is about to say to you. There is a spiritual world. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. And in the spiritual world, there is the light, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. And there is the powers of darkness. It is plain simple. That's how the spiritual world operates. And the spiritual world governs the physical world that you see. Everything you see in the physical is orchestrated in the spirit. We are here because somebody prayed for us. We are here because somebody prayed for us. And for some reason, God made a door for us to be delivered from the powers of darkness to the kingdom of his marvelous light, the kingdom of God. So as a believer, we cannot ignore the reality of the spiritual world. Now we are just worshiping God. You didn't see him physically. You worshiped him by faith. Because as your physical body breathes oxygen you don't see, you believe in it. Faith has given us the privilege to worship God. We don't physically see, but faith makes him a reality in our lives. So any believer, anyone that is a Christian that does not understand that the spiritual world is real, why are you born again? And if you understand the spiritual world is real, why are you not making efforts to understand the requirements for spiritual success? You see, because the spiritual world is so real, I can't go into everything here, but we're going to look at some scriptures very soon. The natural world is inspired. The things you see in the natural world are directly inspired from the spiritual world. The first fall of man began with a serpent, which was Satan. Through that serpent, started inspiring Eve. And when he got a hold of her mind, he went through to the husband. And they disconnected. Disobedience, disobeying God's word, caused the fall. God will never lie because he's light. And God will never hide truth from you and the consequences of disobedience from anyone. And the power of redemption. So God told Adam and Eve from the beginning, if you disobey, this is what's going to happen. So we, as believers, we are listening so much to the music of this world, the systems of this world, that we forget that the systems and the structures of this world has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Amen. And by so doing, their information network, their media strategy has gotten so much to us that subtly in a sly way, has removed our ability to be serious with the word of God. And so when we see things happening and in the church and in the nation, we just wonder, where is God in all this? So I want to share with you today. And first, let me tell you why. The reason of what I'm about to share with you is because from the 16th of this month to the 7th of October, we are calling for 21 days of consecrated time of prayer. Whether at your home, but mostly those we have hours, people can come here and pray. That's the why. I'm going to go this deep for some. The importance. The prophet Ezekiel, God revealed a lot to him at one point, and then God told him in Ezekiel 22:30, he says, I sought for a man to stand in the gap and I found none. And why? The reason why God was saying, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, meaning I'm looking for somebody who really understands the seriousness of what will happen to Israel, where they are now, the consequences of what they've allowed. I'm looking for somebody that will petition heaven, stand in the gap, so that that consequence is aborted or overthrown through the spirit of repentance. He said he found none. Why? Because there was no revelation of that consequence. He says, if you read from verse 1 all the way to before he got to 32, he says, from the kings, the princes, the prophets, the priests, meaning the church, all of them, they've corrupted that line. But God always has a remnant. God always has a people. And so when God was saying, can I find somebody to pay the price that is required so that these people are not destroyed. He found none because we have allowed the culture of the environment where we live to so water down, to so much reduce the personality of God to nothing will happen, no matter how much we disobey him. So the first thing I want to share with you, I want to read to you, and I want you to open your Bibles because I want you to see this. Because of the depths of where we're going this morning, I want you to see it yourself in the Bible if you open to Revelation 17. I want to show you a scene in the spiritual world. Revelation 17 says, this was John. God was revealing to him something in the spirit. He says, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven bowls, seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither. He's now calling him into the spiritual. I will show you, unto you, the judgment. Everybody say judgment. That's justice. I want to show you the judgment of the great harlot or whore that sits upon many waters. Because we're not going to read very far. If you look at the interpretations, that many water means nations, peoples. That sits upon many nations, many people. Harlot in the spirit. With whom? Where does she begin this her walk in the spirit? With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And the inhabitants, now it begins with the king and it flows down. And then the people, the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. In other words, he's saying, whatever this woman is releasing into the earth from the spiritual realm and is passing this down through the leaders of the nation, it has gotten to the place where the citizens and the people of the land has become drunk with that spirit of lust and fornication. Drunk, you know what drunkenness means? It means they have been taken over. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colored, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. Listen to this, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon. Spiritual Babylon, meaning is not the physical Babylon of those age, but is a Babylonian culture that is released into the earth spiritually, and the culture of the people manifest that spirit. Spiritual. This is the woman influencing. Upon her forehead was written, Mystery Babylon the Great. Listen to this. The mother of what? Harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw this, I wondered with great admiration. Amen? Amen? I want you to note the word, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now, because we're going somewhere and I'm not going deep into these areas of the spiritual world, Paul talks about wicked spirits in the heavenlies. Our world is not flesh and blood. It's not these things you see. All this. No, it says we are dealing with principalities and powers. Wicked spirits in the heavenlies that instigate things from the spiritual realm. So when God was saying, do I need somebody to stand in the gap that will pray? He's talking about that understands what is going on in the spirit. That will be able to petition God in a repentant way that will overthrow the plans of darkness. The study, like I said, I won't go into about this murder of harlots and abomination. My brothers and sisters, if you go deep into that study, the one word there is witchcraft. The one definition for witchcraft is the power to control. And the power to control does not just mean, it does not mean that to have authority is wrong, to have power is wrong. But this control is different. It's the ability to take you away in every, your mind, spirit, and body, anything connected to the reason why you are born, by created. To completely disconnect you, your mind, spirit, and soul from God and the purpose of God. Total control of your life away from God. So, this spirit, if you read it, the rest of Revelation, you see it. This is a very simple area in Revelations because he has the explanations. He said, this spirit has ruled over kings and empires. So really quick, let me tell you, I know this is deep for you, but you get to where you understand. That means that in the spiritual world, what we call this darkness, it's not physical darkness. The powers of mean there are spirits with assignment that influence kings, just like the serpent influenced Eve and Adam. They influence man to disobey God. Because Satan, before he fell, he knew the power and the consequences of disobedience would be separation from God. So they influence the spirit from the spirit to the natural. And then kings now begin to do something. What do? Kings begin to create a culture atmosphere in their domain. And they will begin to create this culture because they have the power. And after they create the culture inspired by the spirit of witchcraft, just to summarize what this woman does from the spiritual realm, then they now create a culture that the ultimate, eventually, climax of this culture is to perverse and totally corrupt the generation. So it has been that way through history, from the Egyptian to the Assyrians, all the way to the Babylonians. The Babylonian culture was almost a prime. God used an example in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, the days Daniel lived. But in the midst of that perverse Babylonian culture, that's why it says Mystery Babylon, the spiritual aspect of this, God still makes a way for people not to bow to that culture. But you can't say, I will not bow, I will not obey, we're just saying all this, without consecration. You only way you overthrow the culture of this world is to do what God says. The only way your engine runs and your car runs well is to obey the recommendation of the people who made the car. If you don't, your car will break. There's no question about it. So, I want to speak to you today. Because of these 21 days of fasting, I want to give you a little idea where America is. You're here to pray for the nation. We're here to pray for the city. Because what happens in the nation, what happens in the city, will affect all of us. And that's why God looks for intercessors. Amen? First of all, before we read a few scriptures here again, God raised up Israel as a nation. And God gave them precepts. In other words, God gave them a life they should live that God didn't require from the rest of the world that are already corrupt. But God told them, if you do these things out of obedience, No nation will defeat you. You will be the head and not the tail. I will prosper you. I will bless you. I will bless you with rain. I will bless you. I will fight your battles. God just said, just obey me and then you will be a light to the rest of the world. But then God said clearly, if you disobey me and you begin to do the things that the rest of the world and you lose your consecration, what sets you apart from the world, then I will leave, I will pull back and the enemy will come and drag you back into the world until you repent again. So God didn't hide from them how the kingdom works. Amen? Amen. So I want to speak to you today about America, about these 21 days of prayer, and how this can affect us. We're going to look through the lenses of a man in the Bible, the life of a man in the Bible. There was a time that the Bible says in the book of Judges, that everybody was doing what was right in his own eyes. Amen? But God raised up Israel to be a light, to be a standard, to be a blessing, to be a delivering nation for his people to be delivered. But there came a point where they have become like the rest of the world. They lost their consecration. They lost obeying the things, the word God gave to them. And when they lost it, they became like the world. So God started raising up people who will restore, and not only restore, but deliver Israel from where they are at that point. And the example I'm about to use is the same calling that God has upon nations, but I'm going to use an individual. There was a time before God used Joseph in Egypt, then he raised up Moses, and then Israel became a nation. After Joshua brought them into the land and then made them a standard. But then Israel started behaving like the rest of the world. Even now, among the nations of the earth, after the church started on the day of Pentecost, in our time, going back as far as almost 1,000 years ago, one nation that rose up among nations, the only nation, not the body of Christ now, but the nation that literally almost embodied the precepts and the recipes God gave to nation of Israel. That if any nation does these things, God will become their God. God will do great things and God will make them a light. God will bless them. America became the only nation like Israel on the face of. America was raised a deliverance nation, was raised a breadbasket, was raised to be a light, a standard bearer of what God can do with nations because Israel was still in the making. It was America's involvement and acceptance and everything in 1948, Israel became a nation. And from that time, the part America signed kept Israel in bonds. Together. And ever since then, America was not only a deliverer, but a sustainer, the nation of Israel. When the pilgrims and the various Christians that came into this place, they came because they were being persecuted from every other land. But they wanted to regain and restore their commitment to God. I won't go through all those history. It wasn't everybody that came to this land came because of true spiritual reason. There are others that came later because they had a different agenda, a satanic agenda. But those that came, the pilgrims and all that came, they built a culture, they restored a culture here that eventually the culture penetrated the mindset of the original writers of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the Nation. They were so influenced by godly minds that there has never been a nation with this kind of principle called democracy in the best way. When all this was going on, the foundations and some of the founders, because of their influence, every court in America had the Ten Commandments. The Bible was almost used in some cases in the court. You cannot stand before the judge without swearing with the Bible that you keep the truth and all truth. That's why till today, you cannot swear in the president of America without the Bible. The foundation, what this aspect of the nation, was built around godliness and the principles God gave Israel. Even this thing we call non-profit was because the nation built a system where anything charity and Christian cannot be taxed from the Bible. The system was so built that literally almost every school in America had Bible as one of their studies in their classes. And then at some point, it was a national requirement that the schools had prayer in the schools. So when you have the Bible, when you have prayer, because they know that the future of every generation begins with the young, and you train their minds in the ways of the Lord. So many generations of America were raised, even though they were not in church, they were taught Bible in school. They were taught prayer in school. The Ten Commandments behind the judge in the court houses. And God bless this nation. God prosper this nation. God gave this nation ingenious ideas. They overtook every nation. And at some point, America literally was ascribed the respect of a superpower. The only. Because after all their competitors were now granted. God lifted this nation to the highest in the world and prospered this nation. At the height of this prosperity came a different agenda. That agenda has been there, but it's been growing and growing and growing. 2005, God led me to write this book. There was just so much God revealed. He said, just put a little to give people an idea about the future and where America is going. A lot of the things that is happening now is here. 2005, they were not happening. The effort that went into this book, there's no way it could be. Some things here have expired. The effort that went here, this is not the kind of book you could sell. What amount will you sell it? God says that, I want it to be available when the time comes and make it totally free and make it possible for people to have. But we know human beings, anything that is free, nobody takes it serious. Yep. Except this is food, amen? Amen. You know, when we call pastors to come for a meeting, some of them, they will just give excuse, and you say, complimentary lunch, they will change their minds. America was the hope of nations. America was a delivering nation to so many nations under oppression, poverty, crisis, humanitarian crisis. America became the nation every nation will run to find justice in their situation at home. They became a breadbasket for justice, for a rule of government that gives people opportunity from dictators and satanic leaders. Let me not go too far into that. Why am I sharing this? Because God raised these watchmen, God raised these people. I want you to know, and we're going to read the Bible so you see the patterns here very soon. I want you to know that removing Bible from school, Removing prayer from school was a strategic assignment from the pits of hell. And from the time this was done to now, a generation has been raised with a secular mindset that can eat anything and ask for more. What I just shared with you here from Revelation 17, America, after they've removed godly things, you saw the time they were removing 10 commandments from the courthouse, everything that will provoke the nation or remind the nation of godliness, they were removing it. People thought it was just a play. They've not only succeeded in removing it, but they have replaced it with demonic curriculums across the nation to raise a nation and a generation whose mind is under the control and influence of darkness. A nation, a generation that has no clue if there is a reality to morality. Simple morality, good and bad, cancel. So, whenever God sets people up like that, from Egypt to Babylon, to the Greek Empire, to the Assyrian Empire, to the Mess Empire, every one of them that got to where America is today, they fell. And they fell really bad. The reason we're calling this 21 days of prayer is because for decades, God has been warning the nation. But instead of receiving the warning, instead the corruption now swept into the church. So that those that are warning will lose their boldness and their fear of God. So now they came after the church, and the church is, I know there's always a remnant, has lost his voice for truth. And so, God in his mercy, always will find people that will pray. Because right now, that foundation that was raised by the fathers of this nation is being broken. The political foundation is broken. The spiritual foundation is broken. Right now, America doesn't have that politics that was healthy. Now it's a tooth for tooth, an eye for eye. Blood for blood. That was in America. The world envied. Everybody runs away from Russia, runs away from Africa, runs away from places where they've seen things happen. Where are they running to? America, a nation of refuge. But I tell you, before I continue, people will start running away from America. Because of what is coming and what is already happening. I know this is a little bit heavy, but because things are accelerating so fast, I will be sinning if I don't alert you to the reality of the state of the nation. So let's read a story really quick that will give us an idea how these things happen to the nation. And I'm not just talking about nation, it happens to us if we lose our consecration. So please open your Bibles, and maybe they can also help us in the screen. Let's look at the life of a man called Samson. Let's open to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. Amen. Please open to the book of Judges chapter 13. I'll read from verse 1 really quick. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. That's God's people. In the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into what? The hands of the Philistines for what? 40 years. The consequences of disobedience. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manuel. And his wife was barren and bore nath, had no child. Verse 3, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son and have a son. Now therefore, listen to this, he says, beware. Be careful. Everybody say, be careful. Now, therefore, be careful, beware. I pray thee. This is the angel saying, I pray thee. And listen to what he's telling the mother. Why is he telling the mother this? You see very soon. Because this child has a destiny. Everybody say, I have a destiny. And the angel of the Lord, says, beware. I pray thee. And drink not what? Wine, nor what? Strong drink. And eat not any what? Unclean thing. You see, the people have deviated from God. They've derailed. And now God is about to raise up a generation, a people to restore and to deliver. And from childbirth, the angel is warning the mother, don't even let the child's blood, your blood, give the child a taste of what would derail him. Do you know right now, I know we are online, the agenda of the satanic world is to corrupt children even from childhood. Before they are born, they are already, their minds is distorted. From birth to 1 year old, everything has been set to make them lose absolute moral desensitivity. He says, beware and drink not wine or strong drink and eat not anything unclean. For, see, thou shalt what? Conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be what? A Nazareth unto God from what? The womb. You know, when people are pregnant, I always tell them, pray for your child while she's in the womb. Pray, lay hands. Let your husband lay. Let, pray for your child even when she's in the womb. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And now, drink no wine, nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of what? His death. Consecration from the womb. Remember this. If the people that made the car says, put oil, put water, that's what God is saying here. This generation has been corrupted. I don't have anyone to help them. And the enemy is oppressing them all these years because they've given room to it. So now I want to make a way to deliver my people, to help my people, to restore my people. But I have to find a vessel I can use. So I have to go, the corruption is so bad, I have to start from when the child is in the womb to prepare that child to be a consecrated man of God. So you are the mother. What you take goes into your blood. And whatever that child is being fed in the womb, it can still get there. So just don't eat, don't drink, don't do these things so that that child will be born without infection from this culture. And they obeyed. And Samson was born, because if you read the rest, they asked, how do we raise this child? He told them everything. So when Samson was born, Samson was told, you are not a normal child. Everybody say, you're not a normal child. The moment you're born again, you are not an ordinary child. You are not a normal human being. You are a peculiar people. Called to show forth the praises of him that I called you. Out of darkness into his marvelous light. Christianity is not pizza, 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 pizza. There is a requirement, a lifestyle. So, Samson was told from a childhood. That's why the Bible says, raise up a child in the way he should grow. Amen? That's why the Bible was taken out from every level. The mother was told, they told Samson, Samson, listen, God has plans for your life. God has a purpose why you are born. That's what our parents should be doing. You have to give your child from childhood a sense they are different. So that as they grow and they start seeing things, they start on, why am I different? And you train them that they are peculiar. They are the child of the kingdom. So chancing, listen, this is what you don't need to do. Don't drink strong drink. Don't cut your hair. Don't eat something unclean. All these things. I have kept myself so that it will not affect you. So when you are born, this is the way you grow. And that's how Samson grew. Amen? Amen. Samson grew that way. And guess what? Was consecrated. Meaning he lived that consecrated life. Meaning just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel. They refused to eat like the Babylonians. Amen? That's consecration. So Samson grew up, and all of a sudden he found out power was upon his life. He was different. Amen?
Amen.
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 And so, if you read the rest of the chapter, everywhere Samson goes, power was behind him. He was a deliverer. He brought fear in the life of the enemies of Israel. He shook them. He started saving his people. He started delivering his people. But I want us to open to the book of Judges. Just flip two chapters, verse 16. And let's read really from verse 4. I'm talking about America right now. From verse 4, Judges 16, 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved what? A woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was what? Delilah. Delilah was not an ordinary woman. Just the way Samson was not an ordinary man. Samson was consecrated from childhood. There are people who give themselves to satanic activities from childhood also. And they carry the spirit of witchcraft. So, it came to pass afterward that he loved this woman. His name was Delilah. And the lords, listen to this, and the lords of the Philistines came unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth. And by what means we may what? Prevail against him. That we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. Let it be 20 million, I don't mind. 6. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein is thy great strength lied? And where will thou mightiest, where will I mightiest band to afflict thee? Have you seen such a thing? Love is blind, isn't it? Somebody puts a gun on your head and said, where will I shoot you and you die? And you are not awake yet. Verse 7. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me up with seven green weeds that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. You see, it's a different person. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up unto her seven greens which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Please listen to this, because you'll be wondering, why? What is going on? Can't we see? Now there was a man lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he broke the wait, that's as a thread of the toe, and as a thread of the toe is broken when it's touched with the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me. You lied to me. You told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith will thy mightiest be bound? How can I destroy you? How can I make you fall? Verse 11. And then Samson said unto her again, if they bind me fast with new ropes that has never been used, then shall I be weak and be another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him wherewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait abiding. And he broke them off. And Delilah came again to Samson. You have lied to me again. Tell me, will you be bound? And then, this is the third time now. Samson said unto her, if thou wavest the seven locks of my head with the web. Do you see, the more you are going deeper in sin, the more you are getting close to losing everything. And what led to this, I jumped a lot, was because Samson was already eating things from unclean places. Samson was already ate from a skull. He was doing things. He was losing consecration slowly and thought it was okay. So now when the enemy is now trying to come at him and finding a way, he couldn't see it anymore. I want you to know that America is not safe like you think. Not because America is not a superpower. I can read to you in the book of Revelation. But because they are blind spots. Because of sin. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto you've lied to me again. And then Samson said, of course, we read that part. If you fasten me with a pin, and said unto the Philist, and then Samson, verse 14, and he awake out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. That's how powerful he was. He took the pillars of the house and walked away in his head. And the people were afraid. Now listen to this. Verse 16. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily, and with her words, like Eve, and urged him, so that his soul was now fast unto death, Samson then said to her, he said, and he told her all his heart and said unto her, there has not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me. I shall become weak and be like any other. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up now once, for he has shown me his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up upon her and brought the money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her head, her knees. And she called for a man and she caused him to shave off all the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of the sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before," and shook himself. Amen. And he did not know that the Lord's of the Philistines, that the Lord has departed from him. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, brought him up to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. That's where America is. America's taking the Bible out of the system, out of the culture, and a generation that doesn't know anything about God has taken over. Now, the whole nation were not Christians, but there were principles America kept that kept the nation under God's protection, under God's provision, under God's promotion. God had, America had favor with God. But right now, you can see, I can see, that pride has become a national anthem. And pride has taken over. To the point, even pride has become a movement. The Bible says pride comes before what? Fall. The reason we're calling for 21 days of prayer in this season that is coming is because, you know, Samson had opportunity to escape. Amen? You told somebody your secret that will make you die, make you collapse, and every time these enemies come and you show them that nothing. You had ample opportunity to repent. Ample opportunity to say, the enemy is after you. The enemy is coming. They are there. They are waiting. They are testing. But because he has watered, there is no more consecration. He couldn't see. You cannot be blinded physically without being blinded spiritually. Before you can be weakened physically, you've been weakened spiritually. Before your eyes can be plucked out physically, you have to be plucked out spiritually. Before you can be bound physically, you've already been bound spiritually. That's where Samson was. That's where America is. The problem now is, when you are spiritually blind, you're spiritually bound, you don't know it, you will think you are still that spiritual man. You're still that everything. That's why we have blind spot. Sin creates a blind spot. Amen? That's why God looks for intercessors. Because it's not God's desire that even the wicked should perish in their sin. That's why he looks for people who have eyes to see. It's called watchmen. You see things in the distance and you say, God say, warn them, pray, stand in the gap so that these things will not happen to them, because pride has blinded their eyes. And that's why he says, my people who are called by my name will humble. Humility is the key for repentance, for deliverance, for freedom. Because of time, I want you to know these are not just an ordinary message. That's why we're calling this prayer. Because it is still shocking to me that COVID happened in 2020 and nobody is serious about how to prepare for it if it happens again. everything collapsed. Everything happened. It's like Samson. All these things is happening. And you're not like, God, forgive me. God, what happened? God, what's going on? I have sinned. What's going on? This woman really wants to kill me. He couldn't even see somebody trying to slay him. Somebody trying to destroy the economy. Trump is trying to cause a nation to fall. You can see. COVID. America spent over $6 trillion to save the economy. Over 5 million people died. 500 million people infected. And the church doesn't know what to do. And another one is being promoted. Russia war is here. Do you know what it means if your brothers and sisters were among over 300,000 people being slain as sacrificed there for people's ambition? Die like chicken. And now the whole world is set up in factions of war in their own categories. And America is leading the rest of them. My brothers, you might not understand what is happening in the dark, but what you see in the surface is not normal. That's why we must pray. If you read this book, you understand where the world is going and the people behind. So, I want to stop here to let you know, it's not only with nations. It can happen to us individuals. Samson was the key believer, the one to deliver. You might call Samson an apostle of his days. The Bible says, be careful lest you fall. What is it saying? Don't lose your consecration. My brothers and sisters, individually and corporately, let me tell you the truth. If a nation is blinded and a nation is establishing all the ungodly things taking place now and literally call evil good and establish it as righteousness, who do you think you are as an individual to abandon the word of God and pray? And you think the culture will not swallow you? Everything happening nowadays in the church because people have left the Bible in the church. How can you drive a car and put water where oil is supposed to go? How can you not struggle with the things on the internet, with social media? See, when you are delivered from being an alcoholic, you can go to the bar and not be tempted with drinks. That's what makes a believer different from an unbeliever. When you are delivered from something, you will become a testimony to the people and witness to people who are still in the situation. That's how you know your Christianity is authentic. But if you have no consecration, my brother, the solution to social media, it's not shutting it down. It's what God told Joshua. It's the same thing God told David. Meditate on the word of God. If this thing is inside of you, it doesn't matter how much it's in social media, you will not go there. Because what is in you will not go there. This is God's recipe. And David, God told David, meditate. That's in the days of David. Meditate on this day and night. Amen? Amen. In our social media world, I think we should meditate in more than that. Because this changes your inside. This corrects things in you. When you do what God says, God does the rest in you that you don't know. When a tree is planted by the waters, it's planted by the waters, leave the rest to God. He says it will bring forth fruit. The weed will not, because you planted it in the right place. Meditating on the word is a life of consecration. Prayer, even if it's 10 minutes or few minutes daily, is a life of consecration. If you're not doing any of that, with the level of internet, with the level of distraction, how will you deal with the floodgates of the culture of this world now. My brothers and sisters, what is coming? Since like Samson, we ignore COVID, we ignore this, we ignore that. I encourage you, before the worst starts coming and more, make a decision to start reading this Bible. The internet is full of nice devotional, daily devotional that will make you study the word. Or you can study this word. Discipline yourself, especially as you see the day's evil. Pray. Simple prayers. God doesn't want big grammar. It's heart to heart. He understands you. But don't continue without the word and prayer. Add fasting to it. Amen? If you just do this simple thing, God will take care of the rest in your life. The world is bad and it's getting worse. So let you not be taken away by the spirit of Antichrist. Amen? Amen. So I shared all this because, please, I am encouraging you. This 21 days begins on the 16th of this month. And it's bringing a new season upon America. I saw it in the spirit. And it's bringing a new season. We have seen we've seen different seasons. But this new season that is coming, some things are going to, God is going to allow some things. But those things God will allow is going to promote us. You are going to be promoted. The favor will be upon you because you're God's covenant people. Amen? Amen. We are in the season of promotion, season of provision, season of harvest. And God will maintain that. Amen. So when you come these 21 days, you will hear some other things as we pray. And I will be able to share some things. And sometimes, some nights, we'll just take off that social media screaming so I can make some things clear to you. So that nothing happens again and you say, oh, COVID came, I didn't know. This came, I didn't know. God wants to prepare you so that it will not affect you what is coming. You're hearing rumors, but not every rumor is a lie. Amen. If you're here today, don't hear this word and walk out here and not make a decision. Don't be like Samson that was warned so many times and he didn't wake up. I pray that you fear God enough to be convicted this morning and face reality and say, God, you know what? You said meditate on your word. Seek your face. I'm not doing it as I should. If you're here, I want you to make a decision between you and God. I'm going back to the word. I'm going back to times of prayer. I don't know how to say bow down your head and close your eyes. You should be excited. And you should be joyous about going to another level with God. So if you're here this morning and you feel, I'm going to make a decision to go deeper into this word, to start meditating, to start having daily devotion, spending time with God daily. We're going to take communion soon, so don't lie. Please lift your hands. I want to pray with you. If you're here, lift your hands. I want us to be in agreement together in prayer. Thank you, Father. I thank you for people who are bold for you, who are not ashamed to take bold steps for the things of the kingdom. Father, you see the hands that are lifted here, who have heard your word, and you said they did not harden their hearts. So I pray for an anointing, the grace for them to follow through. The thing that will become beneficial. You will open their eyes. You will correct things in their lives. You will establish things. You will bless. You will cause your word to establish them. You will cause their eyes to see. Understanding will come. You will establish. And you take them from glory to glory. No temptation will overcome them because your word is in them. Father, thank you. You draw your people closer to you in prayer, in your presence. Let your name be glorified. Thank you for that grace to obey you. And we give you all the praise. Father, we thank you for America. Can you take a minute? Just pray with me. Thank you for this great nation. You have blessed with everything. Father, have mercy. Have mercy, oh God. Whatever it takes to wake us up. But don't let Satan have his way. Don't let the spiritual Delilah take this nation into the abyss. Father, wake us up. Turn us back to you. Pull us out and give us eyes to see. Turn us back before it's too late. Father, have mercy. Let these 21 days, we give it to you. We consecrate it. You will use it. You will hear our cry. Have mercy, oh God. In Jesus' name. Let's take communion. This communion is going back to being covenant people with God. Consecrated people with God. Amen. Living for God with fear and trembling. If you put oil in your car for maintenance and you use gas every day, the word of God will not run out in your life. Amen. You will live a consecrated life. Because this is a covenant, a promise to God. He will keep his word. And God will keep his own. Amen? Amen. I pray that the promises of God will be upon your life. Amen. Because of covenant. I pray in this season that all kinds of rumor, that the blood of Jesus will be a mark upon your life. Amen. That this communion will be a prophetic deliverance and protection from all kinds of infirmity. Amen. All kinds of sickness. Amen. All kinds of virus. Whatever that is released upon the earth because of sin, it shall not be your portion.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. You are a covenant keeper. Help us to keep our path. We give you glory. Just take this moment as we pray. If there's anything in your life that will hinder you from receiving this properly, just confess and surrender it to God before you take. Keziah, come and pray for us.
Father, you say we should remember the height from which we have fallen and repent. For each of us, O God, wherever we have fallen, even for this nation, and individually and in our families, today we ask for your mercy. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your restoration. Take us back to where you intended us to be. And help us, O God, to beware. When the enemy is speaking and speaking and speaking, may we stand up. May we not bite into the lie of the enemy like Samson did. Deliver us. Lord, today as we take this covenant, these elements, remember that you are our keeper and we depend on you to help us. So help us that we will not fall again. Amen. We hold on to you. We hold on to you. And we receive strength from you and victory from you. Even as we take part in this communion, Lord, we take part in you, in your life. Make us one with you. Amen. And the benefits of being one with you, let it come to us. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.
You can take the bread. Father, we thank you for the power in the blood of the Lamb. Today, I ask, before Samson was bound physically. He was bound spiritually. Jesus. Father, I pray today, before he was blinded physically, he was blinded spiritually. Father, forgive us. Purge everything in our lives that is keeping us in bondage. Yes, Lord. Remove the things that are keeping us spiritually insensitive. Yes, Lord. Deliver us because of your covenant. Yes, Lord. And have mercy upon us. Yes, as we leave this place because of your blood, we are a new people. Amen. We are moving forward. Amen. From glory to glory. Amen. Health to health. Amen. Strength to strength. Amen. Faith to faith. Amen. By your Spirit, in Jesus' name.